Hey everyone, my name is Dave Hudgens. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. Hey listen, we're so glad that you are here and we want to connect with you and your family. One of the easiest ways to do that is by texting the word River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, or even support the church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit us at our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you are blessed by today's message.
Good morning. Good to be with you. Good to see you. Good to freeze with you this morning. I don't know about you, but I always love waking up on a Sunday morning and seeing it snowing. I checked my calendar and it said it's going to snow, right? You know that's Sundays, it is what it is, but we always remind ourselves, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it, right? And so we're grateful to be here. Good to be in a warm building to worship Jesus, right? That's our goal. That's our heartbeat. If you're a guest, you're new here, my name is Caleb. I'm the pastor here. I want to welcome you. And so I always love to say this. This is important for me. And I think important for us as a culture of who we are as a church. There are no perfect people here. All right. There's a bunch of people struggling with this thing called sin, struggling through this thing called the world as we try to live for the Lord, as we try to repent and run away from our sins, as we try to honor him with everything we say and do. And so we just seek to glorify him. And everything we do, and just for a few minutes today, we will sing together, we'll greet and care for one another. Hopefully, you've been encouraged and loved today by someone in this room. If not, then we've failed one another, right? That's the goal of the church, is the purpose of the church is to encourage one another through not just 55 minutes or 60 minutes, but to really, on a weekly basis, just to love one another the way God has called us to do. And so praying for one another. And so the next few minutes, we'll open God's word and see what he has for us. But before we do that, I want to throw a couple things at you, kind of announcements, communicating different things. I want to invite you out March the 20th, okay? Married couples. I do a lot of marriage counseling, premarital counseling, and I would say the number one kind of question I always ask couples is, how are you investing into your relationship? And so many of them will go, hey, you know what? We went out to dinner with the kids and this and that. Like, no, are you together spending time and investing in one another? And so we give you an opportunity. And so we've created an event on March 20th for married couples. I know some of you are like, man, I'm really looking forward to this. Some of you are like, hey, I need to make time for this. And some of you are like, I'm going to drag you here, but that's okay. All right. But we're having a date night here on site. We'll have dinner, and we've got a great couple here that attends that is going to teach ballroom dancing. And so for married couples here, I want you to know this. I am not a ballroom dancer. I am not a dancer. My best dance is the Macarena, and that went out 25 years ago, all right? So that's okay. I do enjoy acting stupid at a daddy-daughter dance and embarrassing my 14-year-old. And so that's my ability for dancing. So for me, that's our goal. That's our heartbeat. And so I want to invite you out March the 20th for you married couples. And so give you opportunity, learn some things, spend a few hours together. And so we'll have childcare as well. And so we take care of that as well. So that excuse is, well, I can't find a babysitter. We've got it. All right, got it all figured out. And so making sure you know that. Another quick thing is every year we do a program called Power of Three. If you're new around here, it's basically a way we are able to give above and beyond in our giving to help the facilities, be good stewards of the facility God has given us. And so the overhang was sacrificially given by you. And so by us as a church. And so it was a lot of fun to be able to pull under there and get dropped off clear, definitive entrance. It's so much nicer to be a part of. We got a few final things. We got to wrap up on that, but we're excited to have that. Well, middle of last year, we announced the idea of an additional Power of Three to add some things to our gym. And so on Saturdays, if you're not doing anything on a Saturday morning, I encourage you to come out next Saturday morning. Come out at 9 o'clock. There'll be 600 people in the gym. And so playing basketball, we've got a great kids program, got just a ton of volunteers, parents, grandparents, and at halftime of each game, they communicate the gospel. They have a message. And so why are we using that? We are using every area facility for the gospel advancement, and that is important. And so a simple thing that we want to add as a church is we want to add bathrooms. If you enter at our south entrance, the bathrooms are all the way on this end of the building. And so if you run a kids' practice on a Tuesday night, you will have to go through the auditorium into the other end. It's a other end of the building just for safety and care, and then usage of ministry space. And so that's what we're trying to raise. And so our goal is $75,000, and that we're asking you to kind of pray about how you can give, how we can be a part of that, giving above and beyond your giving. We've raised $22,554 as of now, which is so great. But what I want to tell you is this, we, through some great stewardship of some project leaders for our overhang, had an additional $20,000 left over. And so we like to say, wow, there's a fund surplus that we just roll into that project. And so we're doing really well, just about $45,000 to be able to put directly into that. And so working through what the plumbing looks like, what the all the different things that I have no idea. They just keep me away from heights. And so, but I'll help in whatever aspect and facet I need to. And so I want to let you know about that. And so be praying for that. It's how you can participate. Be planning, talking as a family, talking as a couple, how you can help give to that, some ways you can do that on our website at Guest Services. You got other questions, ask me. I'd love to shoot me an email, grab me after gathering, find some details and different things of that. And so looking to hopefully get that in for next Reach basketball season. So if you have a Bible, that's enough of the announcements. I've had enough of those. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, okay? Ephesians chapter 6. Pastor Ryan started this last week, and I told him, do not preach my passage. And he definitely preached part of my passage, but that's okay. All right. But last week we challenged, as really the family month, as we take a really 4 weeks out of the year to focus on the family. We believe that's important. I said this 2 weeks ago, and I want you to know this very clearly. The enemy hates your family. Okay? The enemy hates your marriage. The enemy hates your kids. The enemy's goal is to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the reality. God instituted the family. And so we believe the family is God-placed, God-ordained, even God-protected. And so we want to be very, very clear how and what that should look like. And so the first week of February, we taught on wives and women. We taught, second week, we taught on men. Last week, Pastor Ryan preached the idea of being a child, which is great. The idea of honoring your parents. I wish that had an expiration date and sometimes, but it doesn't. And so if you have parents, you're like, how do I honor them and care for them when I feel like they deserve it or they don't deserve it? How do you navigate those things? And so it's a great, great conversation as we try to live and honor the Lord. This week, we are going to look at parenting or parents. And so the challenge for us. And so what I have tried to do is not just speak into, if you have, okay, I have a 5-year-old, I've got a 7-year-old. Now, what do I do with adult children or as a grandparent? Or maybe one day I want to have kids. What does that look like in my own life? And so this morning, my goal is to challenge all of us as we look and see what God has for us. So Ephesians chapter 6, let's look at verses 1-4. Paul continues writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment. With a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let's pray, and we'll jump into that passage this morning. God, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, we glorify you. God, that asks you speak through your word this morning as we open it, as we study it. God, thank you for just your many blessings that you've given to us. We praise you, we adore you, we glorify you. God, help me to get out of the way. I say that just very, very clear and concise to you, God. May your Holy Spirit guide every word, every thought that is said and thought today. God, we praise you. We love you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. All right, so we are going to deal with really looking at verse 4, looking at fathers or parents. Parenting is an interesting game, right? And I use that word game because it's more than a game, but it's a reality. I don't care how old your kids are or how young. And so I love being a parent. It's a lot of fun, but I also am a provoker. And so it's my personality, sometimes provoking for good and a lot of times provoking for bad. And so you hear a little rasp in my voice. I coached a basketball game this morning at 8 o'clock at Waterford Kettering. I love pushing and provoking. And we're going to discuss what that looks like for us as parents or even grandparents. What role have you been called to make? But Paul in verse 4 begins with, says, fathers. That word fathers, Paul is speaking directly to the headship or the leadership in the home. The term used can just be in a general idea of parents. But Paul is doing something he uses in Colossians as well, very differently, in a culture that where children really didn't matter much. They really didn't. In the time that Paul is writing this, they didn't bring much value. They didn't bring much care. The head of the house, the father, was to say what his opinion, everybody else, shut up and get out of the way. That's really what Paul is speaking to. And so he's writing something countercultural, ultimately being led by the Holy Spirit, inspired, and he's writing something saying, hey, you know what? There is value in kids. There's value in children. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves, children are a blessing from the Lord. Just my family, not your family. Okay, all right. Pastor's kids, you got to stay away from them. Psalm 127, verse 3, children are a heritage from the Lord. But Paul is speaking directly and say, hey, you know what? These children are God-given, God-placed. Steward them. Care for them. God has entrusted you with them. You don't know how much time. You don't know how much bandwidth. You don't know what the ups and downs and experiences that you will deal with. But the reality is, hey, Paul is speaking, and ultimately God is speaking directly. Hey, if you are the leader of a home, listen up. And then he opens up with a negative phrase. He says, do not provoke your children to anger. That word provoke is the idea of push or stir. And so Paul is saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, you're pushing them. Yeah, you're helping them be better at, you fill in the blank. Don't push them into anger. Anger is this idea of like a seething bitterness where you become embittered towards everything that your parents say or do. And so Paul is saying, hey, don't provoke to anger. So if you know me at all, I love to push. I'm a pusher at heart. I've had a lot of conversations with many of you. I love to push my kids. I love to push them to be better. But in many cases, I have to apologize because I can push too hard or provoke, and you see the anger stir. And so Paul is saying, hey, we need to be aware. Don't provoke. So what are you provoking? What are you creating? So there's many ways we can do this. Sometimes intentional, sometimes unintentional. Maybe you are an unreasonable parent that you set too high of expectations that someone can never meet. Man, if you're constantly never being able to achieve, you must begin to examine, am I provoking too much? Maybe you're an always critical parent. There's never something good. Maybe you're a parent that has neglect. Or maybe a parent with inconsistency. Maybe you're a sarcastic parent. Or maybe, how about this one? You're a parent that spoils, right? The idea of I overspoil, and the reality is I'm unable to speak into some of these different things. And so as we begin to think about this verse this morning, just for a few minutes, we must ask ourselves, what am I provoking or prodding my child to? See, the reality is, I do think we are to provoke our kids to honor the Lord. Push them to honor the Lord. Setting a standard of honoring the Lord in your home. That is so important. I don't care how old your kids are. You may have a teenager that you're like, man, they're hard to communicate with. Yeah, guess what? Seek to communicate with them and their language. Yes, they use weird language that many of us don't understand, but really spend the time to provoke them to honor the Lord, to seek to glorify the Lord. It's important that we understand this idea of provoking. And then we must ask ourselves, how am I doing? Self-examination is a really good thing. How am I doing? What are some faults? What are some failures? A few weeks ago, I got a text on a Sunday night. Hey, are you in the parking lot? From some of you. I said, no. There's somebody in your car doing donuts in the parking lot. It was my 16 or 17-year-old at the time, right? And I actually wanted to get frustrated and mad, and then I realized, oh, wait, Sunday after the gathering, I was the one that went into the parking lot and showed them how to do donuts. I went, I guess I can't be mad. You're like, how am I doing? Not good, right? Maybe you are. If you're a kid in Michigan, you need to know how to do donuts. It was a maze. The car began to spin, and you didn't have to touch the wheel. Grow up in Michigan, that's what you do, right? But the reality is we must begin to self-examine. In self-review, what am I provoking my kids to? Are there good things? Are there bad things? But you also must begin to ask yourself, am I provoking them to things that don't really truly matter? Because I think that will then add some anger in our lives. You're like, oh my gosh, this is we're seeking. I'm in and a part of the travel sports world. Not every one of those kids is going professional. Most of them are not, right? But yet, parents can be unreasonable, right? Education-wise, you know what? I was never an A student. I was always trying to give my best, but there's no chance I was getting an A. Your kid may be an A student. Guess what? That may be the standard you need to set. But the reality of speaking truth and understanding your kids is super, super important. As we begin to, hey, I want to provoke them to the things of the Lord, to honor the Lord, to be one that follows after him, not to provoke them to an anger or a rebellion or a seething of bitterness. I mentioned to you grandparents, okay? Role of grandparents in this. I can say this. As Proverbs 17:6, grandchildren are the crown of the age. The glory of the children is their fathers. The reality is guess what? You are a part, but your role is to be the biggest cheerleader and supporter for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, to love them and to push them to love the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. That is your role. That really is your role. I know you're like, well, you know what? My kids aren't doing a good job raising my grandkids. Guess what? They'll be accountable to God for that. They really will. They will. Is there time to have conversations? Sure. But the reality is you need to be very clear and concise and caring to go, hey, you know what? How can I help? I want to be the help supporter to help your kids, my grandkids, honor the Lord. I know many of you are sitting here today, you're like, I drive my grandkids to church every Sunday. That's so great. I love it. I love it. I'm so thankful that you're here. I see your commitment and care for them. Like, you know what? You can fill in the blank of, like, you know what? I don't have kids. You know what I'm thankful for is being a part of this church or a church my entire life. There's people that have been influential to my life that I would say, hey, you know what? They're not my parents, but it was like they were like parents to me. And so our office is dedicated to a lady who passed away several years ago. Her name is Deanne Mosier. Special lady to me. It's like a second mom. Died of cancer, but I'll tell you what. Anything I needed, my parents weren't available. Guess what? I knew I could call her. She would help. She would care. She'd speak truth to my life. Those are realities. You say, you know what? I don't have kids anymore. I don't have kids. How can you be a part of that next generation care and love and discipleship? I mentioned that a couple weeks ago. That's what we've been called to as a church, to help care and disciple for the next generation. Just because, oh, you know, my kids are out of the house, I'm finished. No, You may just have more time now. You may just have more time to help with coaching in a Reach basketball game. You just may have more time to help with Awana caring and loving that next generation for that kid that maybe not have a dad, or that kid that doesn't have a mom at home, or that kid that lives with grandparents. Those are the ideas that the church has been designed to be a part of, as we can help provoke that next generation to ultimately serve the Lord. Well, Paul throws big butt in there and then gives a challenge. He says, bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Bring them up is a phrase that implies a process of nourishment or nurture, gives even the idea of growing a plant. As you begin to feed that plant, you begin to water that plant, as you begin to spend time cultivating that plant to be able to grow roots, to ultimately be sturdy. Been told to bring them up, nourish them. I got up here and said, you know what? My kid's only diet is nerds and ice cream. We would say that's not very good nourishment. My five-year-old would probably like it, but that's a different story altogether. You begin to ask yourself as a parent, what am I nourishing my kids with? What am I feeding them? Not just physically, spiritually. What am I allowing their eyes to intake? Are they watching things on a device that they shouldn't be? Am I putting things in front of them that they shouldn't? Am I taking the time to spend time to know what they're watching? Or am I, whatever, here's an open device, go figure out life. See, that's not the bringing up God has called you to do. As a parent, as a grandparent, being a part of concise, hey, you know what? What am I allowing into my child's life? Yes, as a younger, you may have younger kids. Yeah, you can control every aspect of what comes into their life. As a teenager, maybe an adult, or now you have an adult or grandchild, you're like, hey, you know what? I may only be able to suggest or being a part of influencing that time. Yeah, that time flows and changes, as most of us know. But the reality is taking time to go, hey, what am I nourishing? How am I being nourished? What are practical things that are happening in my home? I'll say this. You as a parent should have a nurture and nourishing plan. Being in the Word, praying together, being a part of a program like Awana with kids, that studying God's Word, those are important. As Proverbs 22:6 says, train a child in a way he should go, even when he's old. He will not depart from it. This is truth. This is a proverb we must cling to. But then he gives two positives, and this is what I want to share just for the next few minutes this morning. The first is, he says to discipline. Some of your translations may use this idea of training, or may use the word training. But this is not a weak term here. This is an intentional, it's a call to chasten, discipline, or even punish. And so the idea is for us as parents, us as adults, us as leaders of the home, to be a part of disciplining. Proverbs 15:32, whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son. Whatever loves him is diligent to discipline him. Is discipline. See, there's a lot of conversations about, okay, how should you discipline your kids? I don't need to talk about how today, but I think you should think practically, what is effective in my home? What's effective in this child? Disciplining, removing things. I'll say this, our culture has lost the ability to say no to kids. No, sorry, you can't have that. No, this is not good for you. I'm taking this away from you. discipline. That's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all. Yeah, it's sometimes you're like, man, I'm busy. I just came home from work. I'm tired. Now I got to spend time. No. You have to. You have been called to steward and nourish that child. And part of the nourishing process is discipline. To spend time. Hebrews chapter 7, the writer of Hebrews gives us a different look at this. Verse 7, it is for discipline that you have to endure. This is the writer of Hebrews is speaking here. He's going, you know what? This discipline will build resilience, will build strength, will build ability. See, God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you're left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as they seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment of discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. I don't know anyone that loves discipline. You're like, I don't know anybody. You're like, oh, this is great. I love to be wrong. Maybe you're good at that. I hate being wrong. I don't know anybody who goes, hey, great day. I need a discipline today. But then that passage, it says, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. See, discipline is a part of the training process. Not only to discipline our bodies, to discipline our minds, to discipline our hearts with correction. To speak truth, as Ephesians says, in love. To correct. But he doesn't just stop there. He uses two words. First, he says, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. He uses the word discipline. And then instruction of the Lord. The instruction of the Lord, the word used here is a verbal instruction or a verbal teaching or even a verbal warning. It's spoken. The word literally means to place before the mind with words. It can almost be used as the idea of confrontation. But the instruction of the Lord, to speak truth, to speak into a situation. And that's hard. If you got adult kids, you're like, oh, Caleb, you want me to speak into some, do you want me to go confront today? I'm ready to go. No, that's not what I'm saying to do. Some of it may be some prayers, some of it may be some time. But you may have a five-year-old you're going to have to confront today. See the difference? There's some time. There's some balance. The story in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 3. Story of the high priest. High priest named Eli. God placed, really would speak to God. Was God's voice for the children of Israel. This high priest had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. 1 Samuel chapter 3 describes these men as worthless. It really does. Why were they worthless? Not just because of their upbringing. They were worthless because they would steal things from the temple. They would steal things from the tabernacle, not the temple. They would steal things that people would bring to sacrifice. They committed sexual acts with women at the tabernacle. It's just crazy, crazy stuff. And the reality is Eli knew this. He did nothing. He did nothing. He let his kids run amok. I have a friend that says he just let his kids live feral. Have you heard that described? So they raised themselves. But 1 Samuel chapter 3, we see God's response to this, which is not light. The Lord said to Samuel, behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On the day I will fulfill against Eli that all I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to the end. God's going to judge his house. And I will declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God. He knew it. The end is terrible. If you're a parent here, you're a grandparent here, this is terribly indicting. And he did not restrain them. That word restrain is the exact same root word as Ephesians 6 as instructed. He did not speak truth. He did not. See, we as parents, my call for you this morning is to speak truth. Clear, forthright instruction. It's necessary. And some of us need to hear, like, hey, you know what? It needs to be constructive. Yeah, the old classic constructive criticism. If you're always a criticizer, there's nothing ever good, guess what? You're going to provoke to anger, or you're going to provoke to wrath. And ultimately, the chickens are going to come to roost, and you will be responsible. Think about that. You will be responsible for those actions because you invested, you provoked that into your child. I had lunch with a guy this week. We were discussing our kids. Our kids are going to be seniors in high school. I just registered my kid for the last time for seniors. Kind of crazy. I get a kind of weirdly emotional about those things. I don't know about you, but it's just super weird to be able to do. It's just surreal moments. Some of you with adult kids or grandkids, and many of you are like, just wait. But just in that moment, it's just super, super odd for me. We begin to discuss just the fleeting time. The fleeting time that you're like, man, how did we get here? You ever think about that as a parent? Yeah, I don't know. Like, how did we get here? I just can't fathom how we even got here. Seasons just come and go, and you really understand, wow, God, life is but a vapor. We were sitting at lunch talking, and he's emotional, and I'm emotional. You're like, two guys crying at a lunch. Yep, that was probably happening, all right? Rio and Lake Orion, all right? We begin to just discuss and talk about different things, and I just thought about this message, and I thought about you, and I thought about us as we begin to look, and this word that continually just popped over my head, over my heart, really was steward. Steward. Like, what does that word mean? It's to take care of, to do everything that to nourish, to care for, to correct. That's all a part. Those are all details to the process of stewarding. Because the reality is, in stewardship, you don't know how long you'll have something. Like, God has given me the ability to pastor this church. I don't know how long God wants me to do that. God has given you a home. How long has God wanted you to steward the home? I don't know. I know today. I know tomorrow, right? That's the plan. But the reality is, when it comes to kids or grandkids or the next generation, there is a weight that I think we take flippantly as people. That we go, oh, you know what? It's not that big a deal. It's cute. That's fun. Yeah, there are some cute moments, but the reality is speaking truth and realizing what we're provoking and being good stewards of what God has given us is so imperative for us as human beings, us as the church. I'll say this. We should never take for granted that going down that hallway, there's tons of kids. Guess what? We as a church, we as leaders have been called to steward them. Care for them, because just in a heartbeat, they'll be right where we are. In a heartbeat. And as we steward, as we begin to think about that, to really emphatically, detail-wise, wow, God, how am I stewarding? How am I taking care of that? How am I caring for the ones around me? How am I parenting my kids? How am I caring for grandkids? In a way, ultimately, that they will seek to honor you and glorify you, because in the grand scheme of things, that's all that matters. Hey, who cares how much money they make in this world? They love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Isn't that what matters? I don't care how much success they have. And for us, our mindset, our focus must be that. As we really think about, God, I want to steward. I want to care. I want to nourish. I want to correct. I want to discipline. I want to speak into my kids' lives the way you want me to do that. I'll say this, if you got young kids right now, there's somebody sitting in your row, I almost guarantee it, that has older kids. And they could tell you story after story after story. I go, man, that steward, I didn't even know how I got here. Maybe sitting next to an adult kid. Sitting next to a grandkid. It's crazy. But as we begin to examine that, as we kind of put a bow on Family Month, I'll say this, it all comes back to that idea of stewardship. We don't know how long we have. God has blessed you with today. Take it, use it, glorify him. Shape, mold, speak truth, care, love. Because you don't know how long you have to be that steward. God has entrusted you with today. Use it, use it, use it for his glory. I pray for you. God, we come to you. God, I just lift up every family that's in this room. God, I just praise you and love you. I know as this passage is so convicting to me, and looking at Eli and the idea of not restraining. God, I pray that as men and women in our homes, as moms and dads, we steward, we care, we discipline, we correct, we speak truth, we show grace. God, we balance the pressures of this world to ultimately care and love and nurture the way you've called us to do that. God, thank you for this passage. It's simple, concise, but so clear and direct. God, I know I need that. There's many other passages with so much more doctrinal depth, but this just simple, basic truth, practical truth. May we live that. May we be convicted by that. May we seek forgiveness when we need to, God. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. God, thank you that we're able to see another baptism. Look forward to celebrating just in a few moments. We praise you. We love you. We glorify you. Thank you for how good you've been to us. It's in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.